What is up, y'all? Everyone, we are back. It is October and we are back. I got my girl Miss Tevis up in the building with me. What is going on, sis?
Hey, I'm good, no complaints.
Yeah. Look, if y'all would have heard the background conversation before the live got started, that's why both of us came on the live busting out laughing. So we got a great topic for y'all tonight, but y'all know how we start off Real Talk Monday. We've been off for a month, but we ain't changed nothing. We about to start it off with a little bit of the theme song. So as the theme song is playing, we want y'all to like, share, tag, let everybody know that Real Talk Monday is on. Let's go. What is up? Everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week. We'll talk Monday. Y'all, we about to start it off with a little bit of prayer, and then we're going to pray a little bit of the clip to kind of show y'all what we're talking about tonight. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, thanking you for another day, another opportunity, and another time to come on this show and give your name to praise. Right now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you take Tevis and I out of the way. Let your name get the glory, let your name get the honor, and let your name get the praise. Right now, Lord, we'd ask that you allow us not only to be godly, but allow us to be real as well. Let us have a genuine conversation that will help somebody else. These are my blessings, and yes, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.
All right, y'all, right. So, Tevis, tell them a little bit about what we're talking about tonight, and then I'll play the clip for them.
So our topic tonight is for better or for worse. And of course, that has to do with the marriage vows. As always, these are our perspectives, opinions, points of views, and experiences. None to force upon anyone. This is a platform of being able to freely speak, be real, and share your thoughts, right? Chime in. We want to hear what you have to say. So we're going to talk about marriage, and this is coming from two people that has never been married. So our perspectives on the outside looking in will be different from those of you guys who have experienced marriage. So please chime in. Please share your thoughts, ask questions, and we ready to get started.
All right, y'all. Let's look at this clip.
For better.
For worse.
For worse.
For richer.
For richer.
For poor.
For poorer.
Yeah. We hit that snag about 20 times in counseling. Brill made it very clear to Jonathan, you cannot be broke. In sickness.
In sickness.
And in health.
And in health.
To love.
To love.
Cherish.
Cherish.
And to obey.
We didn't talk about that one in counseling.
We did talk about that in counseling. Yes, we did. So you want me to repeat that again? You want to just keep going?
I think we can keep going.
All right.
Pretty sis, funny. I'm going to let you kick it off because there's so much.
Yeah. So a part of me wants to start out with those two main things, but I think we should kind of dive in on a little bit of the core, I guess. So I guess my first question would be, what do marriage vows mean? What do marriage vows mean to you, James?
That is, to me, that is a sacred commitment. you are making a vow. You are promising to, like, have that person's back. You are promising that, like, you're going to rock with that person through anything and everything. When they make you mad, when they make you glad, when you're happy with them, whatever. You're promising that you are going to do life with that person for forever. And that is not something that you need to take lightly. And looking at that video clip, to me, this is just coming from me. Like, they low-key took that lightly. Like, they sitting there laughing.
Like, I think it's... Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. And no, I think it's more her than him. I think that I want to let you finish your thought. Please finish your thought.
Yeah, like, I think for him, what I would like to see is, like, a video clip of them 5 or 6 years later. After this, like, 5 or 6 years after this. Let's see how they have grown.
Yes.
Like, because right now, like, it looks like they wasn't ready for marriage.
Yeah.
And I like this comment right here.
Yes. She appears to be willing to love conditionally. That's right. That is definitely right. You know, before I answer the question, just to kind of piggyback on what Crystal said, it's almost like the poor part, she had to get herself together to accept him in if something happens and they go through a hard time, and then they'll obey. Again, we've talked about this on another episode when we had the two pastors on. The submission and the obeying thing is not what we think. You know, it's not to that extent that we think. Like, he say, you better go sit your behind down, you have to sit down. It ain't that, right? It's really about a respect thing, about a communication thing, about working with each other, right? Not obeying like you're a dog, you know, and that's your master. And I think that, do I feel sometimes maybe the language and vows can be changed because times have changed? Yeah, they could be. But the core of it, you know, if you understand the Bible any at all and just kind of understand the meaning behind it, I think that I don't think that she would have laughed, I guess, but they've been through therapy and marriage counseling, and you know, she still feels the way that she feels. So to me, that's a deeper issue that she has within herself. What do marriage vows mean to me? They are words, you know, words that are spoken by the couple expressing. To me, it's like they're expressing an intent and a promise to one another in front of God, in front of family and friends. It's kind of like they're expressing how they intend to relate to one another. How they continue, they want to navigate the path of their life together, and kind of what the meaning and the intent of marriage. You know, I can say as a parent, I tell my daughter I love her unconditionally. So if she goes out and, God forbid, robs somebody and somebody gets hurt, I'm not going to stop loving her. Right? That's my baby. Yes, you made a really bad choice. You really, really made a bad choice, but I'm going to stand beside you and support you, right? When you're in a relationship, when you choose to marry someone and you say that you love them unconditionally, if we go through hard times, I got your back, right? If you are struggling with whatever, I got your back, right? When you can't, I can. And I just feel like that's what it should be. I feel like that's how it should be. So that is what marriage vows mean to me. Am I okay with taking the traditional vows and then, of course, sharing my own vows? I like that. I like when people do that as well. I don't think there's no harm in it. My mom, I don't think that she cares for the non-traditional vows. I think she feels like everybody should take the regular vows, but I'm open to either, right? Because everybody knows what they want to or how they want to commit to their partner. And if that's something that they agree upon, then that's on them. That's on them.
Yeah. I'm open to that too, because everybody's relationship isn't the same. Mm-hmm. So it's like, just because everybody else is saying all of this in it, maybe you're mm-hmm. feeling something different at that moment and you're wanting mm-hmm. to share a different experience. Mm-hmm. And by sharing your experience and sharing your values, maybe it'll help somebody else.
Yes. Crystal said he was probably laughing as a coping mechanism in that moment. Oh, he definitely was. He definitely was, for sure.
It's like, I can speak it from a man's point of view. At that moment, he's like, I got all my family here. Mm-hmm. I got all my friends here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this girl is making me look like a darn fool.
Right, right.
And in front of everybody.
Yeah.
She's making me look like a fool.
Yeah.
And okay, go on ahead.
No, please go ahead. Go ahead, please.
And like, coming from a man's point of view, like, he probably felt demasculated a little bit too. Like, man, I gotta stay working. I gotta stay working because she definitely ain't about to.
Right. I better not gonna lose my job. You know, if I lose my job, like, oh, I can't go home.
I'm about to be single.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Tiffany said she wasn't ready. No, she's not ready. She is a woman. I wish my person was watching this. She is a woman that that probably is getting married for show, not for the truth.
Come on.
Right.
I bet you that bridal party was huge.
I'm at this age, I need to get married. I want all the beautiful dress and this and this and that. She's the woman, and we don't know. We are just assuming, right? We are just, these are just assumptions based off of one clip. But she would be a woman that is probably getting married for show, for sure. For sure.
For sure. And I guarantee you, she done had this wedding planned out in her head mm-hmm. for years. Mm-hmm. Got the biggest bridal party that she can think of together.
Right. And
she's doing this big.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. She's doing it big for show, for sure. Sorry, my feet get cold. I sit with a heater by my feet, like all day around the clock. Sorry. Okay. What does marriage look like to you, James?
Okay, to me,
Tiffany, that one clip says a lot. I agree. What does marriage look like to you?
To me, marriage looks like having a helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody that's going to have my back. When I ain't got it, she's got it. Mm-hmm. Having a helpmate means can't nobody say nothing about me or her to each other, because we're going to be right there defending each other.
Mm-hmm.
And having a helpmate go to me means back to biblical times.
Mm-hmm.
And where God created Adam first. Adam mm-hmm. was busy doing everything that he had to do. And after mm-hmm. he finished everything that he was supposed to do, God said, it is good for man to be alone. So he mm-hmm. created him a helpmate. Mm-hmm. Now, notice it did not say that he created somebody for him to walk over. He didn't mm-hmm. say that he created somebody for him to sweep like a dog and be like, look, I said do this and this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. She is supposed to be my helpmate.
Right.
To where things that I don't get, she's supposed to understand. Where I'm weak at, she's strong at. Where mm-hmm. she's weak at, I'm strong at. Mm-hmm. Two are better than one. That's what it means to me. What about to you?
A partnership, companionship, trust, love, respect, support, someone that you can laugh with, that you can love, that you can travel, that, yeah, you may have disagreements, but we have that foundation. That foundation is that friendship, right? I know you as my friend, then I know you as my lover, right? I know you mm-hmm. as my husband, my support, my companion, you know, knowing how to overcome together, knowing how to support each other. Peace, prayer, you know, mm-hmm. you may side-eye your partner sometimes, they may get up under your skin, but there's no hate. The communication and honesty is there, and you're forever evolving, right? You're forever evolving, and it's an understanding. So, I mean, yeah, maybe that is cliche. Maybe that only happens in movies and fairy tales, but I do truly believe that if you have a stable foundation, if you have that friendship, that respect, that love for one another, that, you know, when disagreements come or hard time comes, you can trust that you can depend on one another, right? You can lean on each other. So, yeah, that's what it looks like to me. Sherry says someone to share your dreams, goals, and aspirations with. That's right. And you're not too old to dream. You're not too old to have goals. Do you guys think that we're supposed to have a cap on when we're supposed to stop dreaming or have goals? Do you think, James, that if you're a 50-year-old man, do you think it's okay for you to still have dreams and goals?
Most definitely. They're going to be different than what they was when I'm 30 20, or when I was 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as you mature and as you mm-hmm. grow, you're supposed to mature. Supposed to, with age, it's supposed to come wisdom. Mm-hmm. So, like, things that I worried about when I was in my 30s, I'm not mm-hmm. going to worry about when I'm in my 50s. Right. And things that I used to laugh about when I was in my 30s about, oh, man, I can't believe people are worried about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be worried about in my 50s because of the simple fact of it's affecting me now.
Right. I agree. The marriage is forever. Someone to share your dreams, goals, and aspirations with. Knowing how to support each other. Someone you can be intimate, laugh, and be vulnerable with. Marriage is a covenant between two people to build the kingdom of God. Allowing your love and light to shine as an inspiration to others to build love in God's likeness. Life is better when we are loved. Our behavior and actions are different when we are loved. The world is a better place when we are loved.
Oof, I like it. That right there.
Yep.
That's real. That's real mm-hmm. talk.
Yeah. Yep. What is better or worse in a marriage?
That means there ain't no giving up. That means that I had to say, yeah, there's no giving up. There's no not fighting. And
it's okay to fight, but how are you going to handle the fight, right? I think fighting is healthy. Fighting, and if you're fussing and cussing and raising hell and putting your hands on each other and belittling each other, No.
Yeah. Now, when I say not fighting, what I mean is like not hitting below the belt. Like, if you know what somebody's triggers is, you don't, when you mad, you don't go right for that trigger point because you're mad. And I can honestly say there have been times where I have done that. And what was this episode I was in where, like, I didn't know how to argue. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to handle situations. My way of handling the situation was, okay, you know what? I'm going to let it sit down for a minute. I'm going to let it simmer for a minute. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do my own thing for a minute. Mm-hmm. And at the first sign of trouble, I'm ready to win. Because I'm like, man, I was on my King George type status. One monkey ain't about to stop no soul. This one ain't going to keep on rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, look, do you realize how many people I got in my DMs right now? Like, I'll find another you in like 5 seconds.
Right.
But then it's like, okay. Yeah, you can. But when trouble comes, because trust me, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do what that.
Yeah.
You got to have staying power.
Right.
I think what separates our generation from our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents' generation is... They had some staying power in that relationship and that marriage.
Yes, they did.
But us at the Faith Sounding Swivel, a lot of times we like, let me call. We on our usher. I'm ready to sign them papers. Let me call my lawyer. You call your lawyer. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. The sick and stay isn't there like it used to be, but also a lot of times there was a lot of quiet pain and hurt because they swept things under the rug, right? Mm-hmm. The lack of communication, because he's the man. You don't rebuttal what he says. You don't question what she says or what he says. And that is a bad stigma, and especially in the Black community, right? So I think it's important to communicate. I mean,
oh, definitely.
I tell anybody, if we can't be honest and communicate, even when it's uncomfortable, then I don't want to be in it. You know, and I realize that everybody is not going to have that communication that I have, right? So I may have to be more patient, you know, in my relationship, you know, and guide and support and listen and, you know, create a healthy, comfortable space for that to be, for that to be a thing. But what is better or worse in a marriage? To me, whether good or terrible, things happen, right? No matter what happens, we have to choose, right? We have made our decision and we need to stick to it for better or worse. The reality is, like, everyone will have for worse. There's no perfect ship, okay? And challenges are going to come. And at some point in our marriage, we may have hiccups more than once. And no matter what the hiccup is, how are we going to choose to get through it, right? How are we going to continue to love each other? I think practicing love in good times as well as in bad times, it prepares us. Let me say that. When we are intentional on loving and communicating and respecting each other, I think it prepares us to love each other when we go through the tough times, right? I used to say to Ava, and of course this is my daughter, if something happened and we had to live in this house and it was like a little shack that I wouldn't put my toe in, but if we had to live in this house, would you go with me? She was like, yeah, mommy, are you going to be there? And I'm like, yeah. You know, and then I've heard my mom and my grandmother, my auntie say, honey, she must love that man because she living in that, you know, shack or that hellhole or whatever they may say with that man. She got to love him, you know. Ain't no man going to drag me in, but if you love your partner for better or for worse,
you about to do.
And that's their better. That's what they can do for now. Go and support him, right? Now, if I can help us to not be in this situation, don't be so manly that you're not going to let me help us, right? And I think that's the thing, too, with men sometimes, like when they feel like they can't help enough, they mentally and emotionally check out. Well, I'm not trying to be the man. I'm not trying to be the man. But if I have the means to keep the electricity on or the means to where we may not can afford this house, but we got to live in this one bedroom apartment, then just let me work and do what I got to do. Don't take it as I'm trying to be the man. I'm not. But if I can help support us, then let me do that. You know what I'm saying? So I think, again, for rich or poor, it's all that. I mean, me and one of my other girlfriends, we were talking one time and she was dating this guy. She was dating this guy and he was kind of sickly. Mm. She didn't know that he was sickly like that. But she had been married already, right? And going through a divorce. And she was like, I ain't ready for this. You know, she was divorced already. She's like, I just got out of some taking care of a man. And we are not to the point where I want to take care of him like that. And she's like, what do I do? And I'm thinking, he ain't your husband. It ain't like I've been seeing each other long. Respectfully pivot, right? You ain't trying to take on this, you know, you got three kids. You ain't trying to take it on right now. So I share that situation because she's not married to him, so she didn't have to act like a wife and do wifely duties, right? But if your husband falls ill, it is your responsibility to take care of him. Just like if you fall ill, he should be wanting to take care of you for better or worse, whether it's financially, whether it's sick, whatever it is, you know. So so for better or worse, it, I mean, just that, no matter what. And yes, Andrea, you said they literally will check out. Yeah, a man will check out. And Jane, you look like you wanted to say something when I said, you know, sometimes if a man can't, it's okay if your woman can. What is your take?
My thing is, now, if I'm, I don't mind you doing it, but also, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. Like, if we married, we a team anyway. If we married, we a team anyway. But now, I know some women that when they do that, the man will be like, the woman will be like, kind of uses it against the man. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I had to deal with this. I had to handle this. I had to handle that. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for that. So my view on it is, which I'm having to change the way that I operate on that now because of the fact of I'm having to realize, like, okay, bet all women ain't like this. My view before was, yo, I'm a struggle and I'm going to grind it out by myself. I'm going to do it by myself. I'll fall flat on my back before I ask my woman for some help. Mm-hmm. That was my view on it before. But mm-hmm. now I finally got to the point to where I'm like, you know what? Two is better than one. God didn't bring her to me just for me to like do it by myself.
Yep. Andrea said, for better or worse, through sickness and health. Sherry said, some men are taught not to express their feelings or emotions or are afraid to. They have to feel safe and freely communicate and express themselves verbally, not just physically. And Sherry, you're right. I mean, I've learned that, especially as I'm dating someone in their 50s who had been married, right? And because communication was not the strongest thing in their situation, not that he's not communicating with me, he does. But it's almost like it's a wait time, right? It's not immediate. Men have to process. Men have to think.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? And at a certain age, as you date men at a certain age, they do grow up in a certain mind frame, a certain time frame where they saw things that maybe these boys in these younger generations don't or have not, you know what I'm saying? So we definitely as women have to be intentional on making sure that our space is safe for them to communicate, for them to feel comfortable sharing, for them to feel comfortable being vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. That is important, especially if you want your partner to communicate with you. Making them feel sad or bad about their ways or things that they do, or, you know, that's not the way to go. That's just not the way to go, especially if you want your partner to open up to you. Andrea said he's old school. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. She got jokes. I'll get her later.
Byron said, I love being in love. I agree, Byron. Being in love is a great feeling. It is, and especially if it's a love that every time you are with that person, you know, your heart flutters or you get butterflies, and it's just a feel good feeling for sure. But anyway, yeah. Do you believe in for richer and or for poor?
Yeah, I do. Because you got to deal with both.
Mm-hmm.
you got to deal with both. You got to deal with, like, the rich and the poor, because at the end, because you can't have one without the other. Because, okay, babe, you can be rich and have all the money in the world, but still be poor emotionally. Poor given time. Poor with given time. One thing that you got to learn is how to love someone in their love language. And a lot of times, as men, I will be honest, what our first thing is to do is, as women, y'all like to talk out the issue. As men, our first option is, okay, bet, how can I fix it? Okay, bet, what do I, how much is it going to cost me to fix it? Because we, one of those that are fixers, where women are more, they love to talk. And men are ones that are like, you know what? Now, I want to buy my way out of this. If it's going to help me, let's buy my way out of it.
Right. I learned early on, don't call or text or let your man know. Don't say we need to talk.
Heck then, no. Oh, my God.
Right. Ooh. So, every month, so every I don't say that. When I got something on my heart, I just, I keep it until we on the phone and I talk about it. And then I ease into it. You know, I ease into it.
At that moment, everything's on our mind. Everything that we might have done wrong, everything that we done said is running through our mind like, oh God, we need to talk. What did I say? What did I?
I want to go back to what Crystal said about marriage is a covenant between two people to build the kingdom of God. That resonates with me. And she and I have talked about this before. And it definitely needs to be I believe that if you have a spiritual relationship with God, your higher power, you know that there's someone greater than us, that being true to the covenant, being true to the kingdom is important. I also believe that when she said allowing your love and light to shine as inspirations to others to build love in God's likeness, I think allowing your love and light to shine within your relationship with your person, you know, that is, it's just better. You know, it's a good thing. It's a feel good feeling. But I needed to speak on, I wanted to just mention that covenant part again. So anyway, I love to talk. T.I. and Offset are great. Oops. And I used to say that all the time. So, yeah. So, okay. The next question. Oh, so do I believe in rich or poor? Yeah. I mean, if you my person, you my person. We riding this thing out. Unless you physically and emotionally hurt me, then, you know, I got your back. We're going to ride this thing. Or me or my child. You know, I got you. I got your back. We're going to ride this thing out for rich or for poor. What does God say about two is better than one? And Crystal, somebody said that. Didn't somebody say that somewhere? Or maybe you said it. Maybe you said
I it. I did. And I think somebody else said it too. I'm going to go back and find it. What did God say about it? He said it. He said that two people are better than one. He did not create man or woman to be alone. He created them to have a partner to do life with.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times what we mess up is we find somebody that we want instead of finding the one that God wants for us to have.
Yeah.
I think times another thing that we do is we put too many people in our relationship.
Yeah, if you got one confidant, hold on to that one, but you don't need to have everybody in it. And that's a fact. I think in Ecclesiastes 4, maybe, I think it talks about two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You fall, the other can pick you up. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sickness and or in health, richer or poor. There it is, right? Our marriage vows are promised to God. And that's kind of what Crystal was talking about. What do you think?
It definitely, it's not only a promise to your partner, but you promising to God. And another thing that we need to make sure of is the ones that we have in that wedding party. It don't need to be just people that just because you've been cool with them for 50, for like 50 or 60 years. You need to get people in that party of yours that are going to be praying with you, that are going to be pushing you to keep that commitment that you made. When you calling them and telling them it's fed up with your woman, they like, no, remember on 2023, you said for better or worse. And I stood right there by you. I would not be a friend of yours if I did not make you hold on to those vows and that promise.
That's real. I believe that 110%. Before I respond, Sherry said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In Christian marriages, the vows are special as they are vows, not made to just each other, but as a promise to God that this person will be treated with the love and the respect and care, knowing that your person is a gift from God. You know, just like our children are gifts from God that he gives to us temporarily to nurture and love and care for, right? That is the same thing with our partner. Like, you are sent to me from God. And I want to make sure that I nurture you and care for you and love you and support you just like I know that he would, right? I won't meet, you know, I can't do it as good as he will, but I promise to do it as best I can, right? So, yeah, it's a promise of God. I mean, he's given you to me temporarily. And I definitely saw with my granny and my granddaddy, like, for sure. Seen it 110%, you know, when she had to have surgery. She had this knot behind her ear, and then she had to have surgery, and it made her face droop just temporarily. And when she came out of surgery, because they were here in Nashville, and he started singing, "You Are So Beautiful to Me." Me and my mom, we would just all had tears, just cry, because it's just the sweetest thing. So no matter what, because my granny was a bad mama jama, you know, she was so beautiful, like young years, older years, like she was that woman. And he sung that to her, and I thought, wow, she was on her sick bed and her deathbed, and she was still trying to take care of him, you know, into her last breath, for sure. Hey, that's real to me. Like, that to me is love. They never left each other's side, you know, like,
that's real love right there.
And if she would have outlived him and had to be with him in these last 2 months, oh, it would have been, she would have not left his side for nothing in the world. So that is one example I have in love. And, you know, watching them
was just good for me. Having parents that are still married, I know it hasn't been easy because they were babies when they got married, 18 and like 21, and they still together. It's been 47 years.
Man.
47 years and they still together. And I know it ain't been easy. You know, they've had growing pains, but they have stayed. And I hope that their love as will continue to grow because love goes through stages. You know, they've had to experience the loss of both off parents at this point. You know, they've experienced growth and change as far as jobs and careers. You know, they've struggled. You know, they've had their issues, their problems, like so many marriages have. But they have worked it out. And it may not have always been easy, but they have, right? And I can respect that. I can appreciate that, you know. And I do feel like at the end of the day, the support and love that they will have each other to each other as they continue to grow and age with each other, I feel will continue to grow strong. But, marriage vows are definitely a promise to God if people choose to take them seriously, right? People don't take them seriously. People don't take nothing serious, it seems like. Everything is for show these days.
Yeah, like a lot of people take it as, oh, well, I'm just doing this just to be doing this, just to, like, I'm going to do it for a little while, and then, like, when I'm going to do it for as long as things are good.
Right.
When things are good, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But once the real problems start, I'm gonna take my vows back. You gotta keep it all the way 100 at all times.
Right.
I like this comment.
I've been married once. I had a rather large wedding party and several guests. Believe when I say that I now have a different perspective on who should be present and witness the intimate ceremony this next time around. I actually want God and the pastor to be present, followed by a reception to invite a small group, close friends and family. We have to be very careful of the spirits and energy we invite into such a sacred moment. I agree. And I have always, always said that I am not going to have people in my wedding party that doesn't ride with me. That I know pray for me, that I know wants the best for me. It could be some mad people, disappointed people, some sad people, maybe. But just know that I know what space I'm in, and out of love and respect for me, just know that, right? I ain't saying you couldn't come to the wedding, but those that stand behind me, who stand behind me, have had my back no matter what. You've rocked with me. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's important. I think that's really important. Sherry said, people, please. I want people, please. Tell me more. What does that mean? Tell me more.
While we're waiting on there to say that, I can remember someone told me, I had told them my idea of how big of a wedding party I wanted. Mm-hmm. How big of a wedding party I wanted, like how many people I wanted in it and everything. And the person told me, here's what I want you to do. They said, we want you to go back and we want you to think out of all the people that you're naming right now. I want you to tell me how many of them people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure. I want you to tell me how many of them people would put you in a dire situation or have you at a strip club the night before your wedding. And I started laughing when the person said that. They're like, the reason why you're laughing is because half of them that you just named, half of them that you just thought about are no longer on the list.
So that gives me a pivot question. How do you feel about bachelor and bachelorette parties? Do you feel like it's okay to have strippers and to have fun and a good time? Or do you feel like, nah.
And don't say
that it's good for the Ben can and the women can't type situation. So if you can do it, I can do it too. So tell me what you think about that.
So you took my answer from me. You took my answer from me. When I was younger.
Right, Andrea, right.
When I was younger, I would say I wanted that.
Right.
But now that I'm in my 30s, I can honestly say, like, I ain't caring about that. Like, now, would I want to have, like, a little fun with my boys the night before? Of course. However, just to have fun with your boys does not have to include having no bachelor party, having strippers coming into that bachelor party. Because what I got to think about is, how would my woman feel? Yeah. Or how would I feel if my woman was doing that same thing?
Andrea said, do you trust your boys? He keep taking too long, Andrea.
Some of them I do. Some of them I do.
Some of them I do.
That's why I said... some of them I do. It would have to be a thing of where the ones that would be in charge of what we're doing would be the ones that I switched. And it would be the ones that I know wouldn't put me in any kind of desperate situation.
Now, those some that you do and some that you don't, are any of those going to be in your wedding party?
Originally, yeah. Now, I could probably say it's down to about six that'll be in my wedding party. As far as my boys, I got a good, strong six.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, before I had about 12, I'm down to about six.
Yeah, that's real. So, like you, I used to want to have the whole shebang, the strippers, the whatever, right?
What? Come on now. I used to. If I was getting married in my 20s and maybe even early 30s, but at this point, no. Nah, I want me and my girls to go to some island somewhere and relax.
Because
we some hardworking women. I want us to go away. Relax, laugh, love, eat.
See, that's where apologies,
get pampered. I just want all the bougie stuff. That's all I want now.
See, that's where, as a man, I would be sneaking out there to the island where y'all are at and be like,
"Yeah, that's
y'all was here. We didn't know y'all was here."
I know, we just really talked. Let me see. So, Sherry, when you said people please, you said you were saying people get married to be pleased, to people please. Yes, their family, spiritual family, or co-workers. And then Andrew said, James, it's too long for you to answer. Other people continuously inquire, nag, press you about marriage. Do you trust your boys? Andrea said. And then Sherry said, are you sure, Reverend James?
I'm going to be tonight.
Why would you have shady characters in your wedding party?
That's why I said it was a strong 12, but now it's six. It's six. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are in that six, I would trust them with my life. I know that they would not put me in any kind of dire situation.
And I like the vacation idea. Okay, sis, laugh out loud. I just want a nice bridal shower. Yeah. You know, I'm 45. I don't know when my day going to come. But I only have one life to live.
I heard that clear in the throat.
I just have one life to live. And I pray that because I'm older in life, getting married, that it will be for the rest of my life, right? That whomever God blesses me with will both be on that same maturity, that same page, right, of love. And
and respect. So I want a bridal party. I want the bridal. I want the bachelorette party. I want the bridal shower. I want the whole nine yards. I am not skipping a beat. So, you know, that's what it is. James, is it easy to submit to your mate?
For sure.
Do you feel like men submit to their mates? Do you think that's okay to say that?
For sure. Because my thing is, I'm not always going to have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So submission doesn't mean that I'm totally being obedient to you. But what mm-hmm. it means is that I'm totally willing to hear out what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. For me, you know, when I say date, I don't mean committed. So when I've dated someone that was, quote unquote, a manly man who was really into the historical back in the day when women didn't have a choice but to be homemakers, he was that kind of man. And he felt like, although I may be out working all day, if he pays for everything, that I am supposed to submit to him, do what he wants whenever he wants it. Well, he don't know Tevis Haney, obviously.
Obviously, he don't know my sister.
I don't mind submitting to a man that is honest, that is, communicating, that's loving me, that is supporting me, nurturing me, and caring for me. But somebody that is a dictator and a narcissist, yeah, that ain't gonna happen, right? So I think it has to do with trust and communication, right? It has to do with honesty and support. When a man or person is honest and they communicate, versus when they're sneaky or easily frustrated or always assume the worst or always negative or mean, it's gonna be hard to submit to that. You know what I'm saying? But when they are honest with love and their support is unconditional as well as their love and their communication is there and growing and getting better, it makes it easier, right? So, yeah. Yeah, and Andrea said you're supposed to submit to one another. I agree, for sure. Submission is not obedience. Mm-hmm. And I heard Pastor Keon say that. He said, a woman will submit when she knows where you are going. She will sub for the mission, right? So let me say that one more time. A woman will submit when she knows where you are going. She will sub for the mission. A woman feels close to a man when she understands what he is thinking and how he feels emotionally. Men are prone to silence. When you are silent, you must yell to get her attention because your silence made her upset. Now you have to talk louder to regain it. Put the mission out there. So he's saying, if you have a plan, right, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with your partner. When a woman knows where you're going, she is going to follow you much quicker and easier. If you're sitting quiet, holding things in, leaving her to question what you're thinking and what you're feeling, she's going to put her guard up. And then you're going to have to fight to get those walls down, right? You're going to have to fight to get the walls down. So when he said that was real to me. And there's a clip on social media of him saying this. And I should have found it before tonight. I had it ready for the last time, but yeah, so that's my
find name. It and we'll post it on there. We'll find
okay.
it.
And Andrea, I'll share that. I don't have it pulled up on here, and I'll copy and paste and share what I just said. So that is my take on the whole submission thing. A woman will submit when she knows where you are going. She will sub for the mission. She's your stand-in. She got your back. You just got to let her know that, right? James, what do you look for in a partner?
In a partner, what I look for is... What I look for is love. I look for respect. Mm-hmm. I look for what's a walk with God like. Mm-hmm. I want her to be so close to God that I have to go to God in order to even get to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then what I look at is how she treats others.
Mm-hmm.
I look at what her grind is like. What is he bringing to the table? Is he bringing just a cute face to the table? Or is he on her grind just as much as I'm on my grind so that both of us can come together and continue to build on the empire together?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I look for, of course, we're humans, right? So, mm-hmm. Of course, I want her to be beautiful in my eyes. To my eyes. I want her to be beautiful for me to look at. And mm-hmm. also, I'm looking for someone that that both of us can learn together and grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Every day ain't going to be sunny. One of my friends posted a post, and it is so true, but it said, every marriage is going to have its rain.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you are strong together, you can get under an umbrella with one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's real. That's mm-hmm. real. No relationship is going to be perfect.
Right.
It's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be honest, one thing that the devil hates is kingdom marriage and kingdom relationships. Mm-hmm. So he is going to try to tear that down at every hand, mm-hmm. in every hand. That's why you got to be careful with who you align yourself with.
That's right. That's right. I think for me, communication and honesty, trust, love, affection, consistency. Those are the things that I look for. James, how do you feel about your partner communicating with their exes, their ex-girlfriend, ex-husband? How do y'all feel about that? What should be the limits?
My feeling on that is, have you let that be known to me in the beginning? Have you let it be known to me in the beginning, like, yo, me and my ex are still cool?
Mm-hmm.
If you've let me know that in the beginning, then, yo, I ain't got no problem with it. As mm-hmm. long as lines are not being crossed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, when I feel like a line is being crossed and I feel like I'm being disrespected, then yeah, I'm gonna have a problem and I'm gonna speak up.
Mm-hmm. What if it's an ex? For example, like your ex-wife is sick, not doing well, not feeling well, and she's maybe reaching out for maybe emotional support. How do you think a woman or a man should deal with an ex-spouse when you're building a relationship with someone else that may be ill?
You number one, you send prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that you are praying, but let them know out of respect for your spouse that you are with. You do not want to disrespect the relationship that you are building right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. all the devil needs is a little bit of a door open.
Yeah, that's and it.
He will totally destroy everything that you've had built up.
Mm-hmm. I've watched I agree. Him
do it. I so agree. You don't want to give him that open door.
I was having that conversation with a coworker today, and we were kind of talking about limits and boundaries and relationships and marriages and exes and what that looks like. And, you know, I'm cool with all my exes. Do I talk to any of them on the phone at this point in my life? No, because I don't have a desire to. And if they call just out of the blue, I pick up and we just have a basic conversation, fine. But I don't have a desire to, right? And I've never been married. So it's I don't like to step into those territories too much. But I you know, I don't expect, you know, if my partner was talking to their ex-wife because she was sick, I don't wish bad on nobody, right? I don't want the lady to fall ill, to die or anything. As long as he is able to still be present for me emotionally and understand the boundaries that he should have with her, we can kind of figure things out, right? But one thing that I have to say to men is don't be naive. You got a divorce for a reason. And no, as a woman, I wouldn't expect you to be mean or ugly or disconnected, although some men would, right? You may have some men that's like, where the joke at that you was cheating on me with? Where the joke at that, you know, some men may be like that. Some men have an empathetic and sympathetic heart. And that, I respect that as well, right? But understand that there's got to be lines and there's got to be barriers, right? And like you said, be careful because the devil is waiting to creep in. He's waiting. You know what I'm saying? So don't be naive because men can be.
Wait a minute now, because y'all women can be naive too. Come on now.
I like y'all.
Y'all women can be naive too. Don't do that.
We may play that naive role, but we know what it is. Y'all just be naive. Oh, she just. Andrea, right. Not like men. I love a consistent man who loves God. Good question. I think you should sit down with your mate first and talk about the situation, right? Woo, men can definitely be naive, right? Not like men. Yes, exactly, sis. I agree. Communication. Y'all, anybody that's been on this podcast with me since I've been a part, y'all hear me talk about communication all the time. Yeah. I don't care what kind of ship you have, communication is important. Mm-hmm. So yes, I agree with what you said. You know, having that conversation prior to keeping your partner abreast, praying together for the woman or man is important. What if it's a situation where it's a heartbroken ex that you disconnected with, or a heartbroken situationship? How do you deal with that? And she calls with the, you know, why did you do this? Why did you choose to disconnect? What did I do wrong? How would you handle a woman calling you and you are married or in a relationship or engaged or whatever? How would you handle your ex calling and saying these things?
First off, my response would be, what have you been drinking at this moment? Because at this moment, like, you ought to know better than to call me with this. You know that I have moved on. You know that I am happy in my relationship, marriage, engagement, whatever it is. You know that I am happy at this moment. Why would you come in here and try to destroy my happiness? Mm-hmm. So since you did that, I'm going to put my woman on the phone. And I'm going to allow you to talk to my woman because I really don't have nothing else to say to you.
What if it wasn't a negative situation where it was just, it was, you know, how does she explain it to me? It was kind of like they was never really committed, but had a long situationship and the guy just decided, this is a guy telling me this. He just decided to disconnect from her. And now he's seeing someone else, but she kind of calls every once in a while or texts every once in a while, just kind of like, what can I do and why did you and that kind of stuff. Like, how would you encourage your guy friend to handle that?
I would tell him, like, man, don't ruin what you have by going back to the past. They are in the past for a reason.
My first question would be, or was to him, does she know that you are seeing someone now? And he kind of hee-hawed around it.
That's a no. That's a no. That's
right. Because to me, he's concerned with whether he's hurting feelings, right? If he's hurt.
In all honesty,
he don't want to hurt her, I guess, too bad. You know what I'm saying?
In all honesty, let me keep it real with you. From a man's point of view, if we really love that woman that we're with, we ain't caring about hurting the other woman's feelings. What he is doing at that moment is he's got one foot in and one foot in the other relationship too. Just in case this don't work out, I got my foot over here too.
Might be right. You might be right. I don't know. When he's telling me these things, I'm like, you know, you have to be honest with all parties. You have to be honest. And yeah, everybody's not going to be happy. Somebody's going to be sad. Somebody's going to be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? But again, communication. Communication is just extremely important. But anyway, I think we got through all our questions. Did y'all have any thoughts or responses about the last two questions? If you're in a situationship and your partner is still support, you know, emotionally or supporting your partner, or she wants closure. Right. So what does closure look like in that situation? Yeah, just be honest, even if it hurts. Yes, yes, yes. I feel the same way. I don't want anybody to lead me on. Like, I do not. Like, even if you think it's going to hurt me, please tell me. Do not keep me lingering. That's real. That's real. That's real. Yeah. That's a sticky situation. I don't know why men choose to, they like talking to me and about these little things. I hope I'm advising them right, but you know, sometimes it's good to hear from your men friends.
It's just sticky.
But I guess they need to hear a woman's perspective, just like sometimes women need to hear a man's perspective about things. You know what I'm saying? So if you got a trusted male friend, you know, cool somebody, or even a relative, you know what I'm saying, that you can talk to about things pertaining to your partner. I mean, I think that's good sometimes. It's always good to have somebody from the opposite sex to bounce ideas off of. Yeah. Well, that's all I got, James. It's 10 after.
Yeah. We pray that y'all have enjoyed. We pray that you all have enjoyed tonight's episode. We thank y'all for tuning in tonight. We thank y'all for watching us. We took a month off, and we needed that month off, in all honesty. But we're back. We're bringing y'all more consistency, and we're ready. We pray that y'all get ready for us. So as we always say, stay blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. Sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments. Meaning, sometimes if we look at it, it's bad. God is only turning it around for our good. We love y'all, and we will see y'all next week. Stay tuned tomorrow for the podcast dropping at midnight. We love y'all. Peace.